Our Old Testament reading comes from Amos, again, continuing on where Pastor Barnes left off last week. Amos chapter 8, verses 1 through 14. And reminding us again, Amos was a prophet to the northern kingdom, and so predictions or pronouncements of judgment are addressed to the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes who had split away from Judah and Benjamin and the Levites in the southern kingdom. So here we are, Amos 8, 1 through 14. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, declares the Lord God. So many dead bodies, they are thrown everywhere. Silence. Hear this, you who trample on the needy, and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over, that we may sell again, and the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who dwells in it, and all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about, and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, declares the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist, and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. In that day the lovely virgins and the young men shall faint for thirst. Those who swear by the guilt of Samaria and say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. And there's a note in my Bible, maybe it's in yours, that this is a play on words in this first verse about the basket of fruit, a basket of summer fruit, because apparently the word summer in the Hebrew sounds a lot like the word end. And so, what do you see? I see a basket of summer fruit. And God says, the end has come upon my people. And I noticed as I was reading this, that word end appears several times in here. I don't know if it's in the Hebrew, but it might be one of those things that God has a bit of irony sometimes in how he expresses himself. It may be that he has used that word that sounds good, sounds like summer, but it's pronouncing death, the end not just of one person, but an entire nation. This thing that's said in verse 3 seems to be pointing, the dead bodies and so forth would seem to point to the destruction that the Assyrians would be bringing in another, I forget, 20 years or 40 years, something after, sometime not too long after Amos pronounced these judgments through the Lord's word. This disaster came on the northern kingdom. We often tend to focus on the southern kingdom being taken into exile by the Babylonians, and then they returned from exile. But the northern kingdom went into exile or was conquered 120 years before that, something like that, I think. And they didn't come back, is the thing. They never came back. The Assyrians assimilated them and other nations, and their descendants maybe could be said to be the Samaritans of the New Testament age. But their identity as God's people, as 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel, that identity is basically gone. And you hear from time to time there will be someone doing some scholarly research to try to figure out what happened to the 10 tribes, where did they go? And it's kind of a mystery of history. Such is the judgment that fell on the northern kingdom. And it's a warning to us to be faithful and not to go back to the world. And in this chapter, some of the sins of that nation are listed. There's not much said here about idolatry, but that was a big one. Maybe that was the real cause of their being conquered. But there was a good deal of dishonesty going on, as we have it there in verses 7 through 14. Buying the poor for silver, selling chaff of the wheat. Maybe the price of the wheat was set so high the poor couldn't afford it. All they could afford was the chaff, or maybe they were mixing chaff with the wheat to cheat people, just as they made the ephah small and the shekel great to cheat people. They couldn't wait for the Sabbath to be over, and that's a bit convicting to me, because I can remember a time when I couldn't wait for the Sabbath to be over. Now, I don't long for that. I like the Sabbath. I love it. But there was a time when I had things I wanted to do. I couldn't wait for the Sabbath to be over so I could get back to doing them. And that's how these people felt about the Sabbath. So it's a warning to us to value those things God values. He values His Sabbath. He values honesty. He values caring for the poor. He values true worship, and He values His Word. You notice one of the judgments pronounced toward the end of what I read is that they'll get to wishing they had the Word of the Lord, and then they won't be able to find it, even when they go searching for it. They wander from sea to sea, from east, from north to east. They run to and fro to seek the Word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. God brought an end to the preaching of the word to these people. And so the admonition is to us to value those things God values. His worship, His day, His word, and our honest dealings with our neighbor, loving our neighbor as ourself. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we can see Your judgment pronounced here, and later we know in history it was carried out, and a good number of the majority of the tribes of Israel were lost seemingly forever, their identity lost. and their souls seemingly lost, at least these in this age. And Father, we confess that we have committed some of these same sins, idolatry and disregard for your word, dishonesty in dealing with people, and a lack of interest in caring for the poor and those who are destitute, despising of your day. In fact, we have in our lifetimes, we've broken every commandment that you've given us. Even in this day today, most likely we have broken all 10 of the 10 commandments. In doing what we should not do, and in not doing those good things that you have commanded us to do and encouraged us to do. So, Father, we stand guilty, and we are ripe for the same judgment that you brought on the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. And we cry out to you, as many of us have in years gone by, again and again, have mercy on us, sinners. Have mercy on me, the sinner. And rescue us from your wrath, your just wrath against sin, as you have promised to do in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for sending him to bear the punishment that we could not bear, and to achieve the righteousness that we could never achieve. And how condescending and gracious and merciful you are to accept his payment for our sin and his righteousness in place of ours. It didn't have to be, except you made it that way by your oceans of grace, your superlative holiness and mercy. And we cannot thank you enough. Thank you, Father, that we have all eternity to continue our thanksgiving to you, and grant us that joy after that last great day to be singing the praises of our great Savior on and on, year after year, for all eternity. Father, we thank you that Phyllis could be with us this morning, and she's providentially detained, or she would be here this evening. We thank you for her sympathy and concern for her neighbor's child that has such special needs. We pray that you would help her in ministering to that man, and we ask that her medical appointments this week would go well. We pray, Father, that you would bless her in her new life in Springfield, enable her to minister to her mother and her sister the Word of God as she had so wanted to do when she was moving there. We pray that you would give her success in that ambition, and bless that word as it enters their ears, that it would do a great work of salvation and sanctification in them, a work of comfort and consolation and conviction in whatever ways are good for their souls. We do ask that you would give her wisdom concerning her dog and how best to care for her dog, or live with her dog. You know how important her dog is to her, and especially with Larry's passing. And we pray that you would give her wisdom to know the best things for Bailey. Father, we thank you that Andrew was able to go and preach to those believers in Enid, Oklahoma today. And we pray that you would be blessing them as they hear the word this evening, presumably. And grant him safety in returning back home. And we pray for Dina, that you would heal her of her maladies and strengthen her, that she would be able to serve you in all the ways that she desires. And bless them, Father, as they sort out their future in terms of how and where Andrew would be ministering the word. We pray for our own congregation as we try to sort out our future and what you would have us do. Give us wisdom and courage to do what's right and not what's convenient. And bless us, Father. If you would have us continue, we beg you and cry to you again that you would bring others to join us and strengthen us and increase our capacity and grant us the resources to continue on in and accomplish your work in this part of Kansas City. We thank you so much again for all that you enabled us to hear this morning from Elia Massey, and we ask again that you would bless his ministry to his own people in Pakistan and grant the continuance of what appears to be a great work, a great turning point in the Christian church in that nation as the Reformed faith is taking root in one city or town, and may it spread to others, Father. Protect those believers from the oppression of those around us who hate Christianity, of those around them that hate Christianity, and grant that your true church would flourish there, and that the body of Christ would be built up and completed in preparation for his return. Bless us in the remainder of this service, we pray, and open our ears to hear your truth, that you would sanctify us and that you would bring us anew to the Savior, that we would be fed and that our thirst would be quenched, that our souls would be filled and strengthened in your service. Grant us faith to believe all of your promises. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.